the richest countries in the world. Now them have a little need, and them a plan to cheat and oppress the poor. So them have a little need, but when them thing goes another way. Oh, when them thing goes another way. Oh, did you hear about these meetings? No, you won't find poor countries there. Because of capitalist greed, revolution seems to be the only place. It may be an old-fashioned way of thinking, but I believe in the people and reasons. Cause when them dancing go the people way. One day them dead and them not dead yet. Oh, when them think dancing go the people way. One day them dead and them not dead yet.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date, Sunday, June the 9th, 2013. And we are yet dealing with Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I. But we want to deal with this subject matter in a mature way. It's been 40 years and more since the beginning of the movement of Rastafari I. And when you begin with Garvey and with the awareness of Selassie I, you're looking at 80, 90 years. So we should be mature in our examination. We do not only want to see Selassie I himself, but we want to see ourselves in Selassie I and see Selassie I as a sign of you and me. Cease sitting around debating the divinity of Haile I, Selassie I. Understand that the divinity of Haile I, Selassie I is a sign of your divinity and my divinity, and the life of Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I is an example that we should follow and uphold and take courage from as we fight this Babylon system in the last stages. So let us continue. We have gotten to the point of the coronation of Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I, November 2nd, 1930. Now remember that we shared with you that when the man was born, he was baptized and christened in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, and the baptismal name that he was given was Haile Selassie. At his baptism, he's conferred this name, this title, Haile Selassie, as a newborn, I believe 8 days out, understanding the connection between the African Hebrew philosophy, religion, rituals, symbolism, Egypt or Kemet, and Ethiopia is the mother and father of such symbolism and ritual. So I believe around 8 days out, which many would say that's Jewish, but we know that's African, Ethiopian, Nubia, so on and so forth, as mother and father of African Hebrew. So 8 days out, baptized Haile Selassie, which means the might, power, and glory of the Trinity. You and I have that potential to be the might, power, and glory of the Trinity. Yahweh is Father and Mother. You and I are children of the Most High Father and Mother, Yahweh. We are that might and power and glory of the Trinity. So, you see, this is like prophecy to Lige Tafari Makonnen, in that as he grew as a baby and as a young man, you see, even it says of Yahshua, Jesus, that he grew in stature, Jesus, that he was not from birth as great as he came to be, that he had to grow. It was potential. Yahshua had to grow in wisdom, grow in knowledge. Yahshua had to go to school and study, just like you and me. Yahshua had to purposefully cultivate a relationship with the Most High, as you and I must do, as we must do. So Yahshua grew into the great and magnificent revolutionary that we know and that we love, which is a sign to us that we must grow and become Yahshua, become embodied by and endued with the principles that surround the definition of the name Yahshua that we will get into later. But Haile Selassie, we must grow. Haile Selassie grew as a baby, as a young man, as a child, as a young man, as a grown man, going to school, studying, loving the human family, loving freedom, justice, and equality. Haile Selassie, as Lige Tafari Makonnen, studied scripture, studied the history of the Hebrews and the history of Ethiopia and that connection, studied and understood the message of Christ is the message of revolution, to stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. So 1930, Lige Tafari, or Ras Tafari Makonnen, crowned and reconferred the name Haile Selassie, because he has now grown into this name and title. Names are important to African people. You don't just make up some silly type of name. Look into that baby. Look into that child and see the potential from the Most High that you desire to see. See the mission of that child. See the work of that child. See the characteristics and attributes given to that child, male or female, by the Most High. And then craft a name that will grow that child into great and magnificent works. When we go back into the word name in the Greek language in the scripture that we are getting this text from, title from, message from, subject from, talking about the new name of Jesus Christ, talking about the new name, when we go back into that word name and see all of the definitions around that word name, then we will come to understand how important it is to craft a righteous name for a child to aspire to grow into, that that child may work the works of the Most High on behalf of the Most High in the human family. So, Haile Selassie ascends the throne, and his beautiful wife, Menen, Empress Menen, she ascends the throne as queen and goddess on this earth. You see, you have God and goddess on this earth. You have the manifestation of the Most High Father in Haile Selassie, and then you have the woe manifestation of the Most High Goddess, Mother Holy Spirit, in the person of Empress Menen. We love the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine. So Haile Selassie at some point joins the League of Nations. Ethiopia, Haile Selassie signs the League of Nations Charter. Ethiopia became one of those who joined the League of Nations, and Haile Selassie and Ethiopia signed the Charter of the League of Nations. Now, this charter stated that any nation that was a part of the League of Nations, and the League of Nations was the precursor to the United Nations that we have today. The League of Nations charter stated that no nation could aggress another nation within the League of Nations. And if such did occur, then the other nations in the League of Nations were obligated to protect, defend that nation that was aggressed unjustly. That was the charter. But now we're moving towards World War II. And even though you have this League of Nations, even though you have this charter of the League of Nations stating that no nation can aggress another nation, we yet see disorderly conduct among the colonialist powers. We see that land disputes, wealth disputes, nations in Europe can't get along because all of them want more of a piece of the pie that they have carved from the Berlin Conference that led to World War I. So now you have the rise of Mussolini in Rome, and you have the rise of Hitler in Germany. You have the Pope and Vatican City in Rome backing up the one that they call the fascist Mussolini, Benito Mussolini, the prime minister of Italy. Pope backing up the fascism of Benito Mussolini. Hitler rising up in Germany, fascist, hatred of communism, hatred of socialism, hatred of anything that would overthrow the capitalist system. Yes, Hitler was a capitalist. Mussolini was a capitalist. And the capitalist industries, Ford Motor Company, Rockefeller, George Herbert Walker Bush's father or grandfather, Prescott Bush, the bankers, the House of Rothschild, the leaders of the international banking system, the Oppenheimers, the controllers of all mineral wealth, these wicked forces raised up Mussolini and raised up Hitler, specifically the German wing of the Rothschild family financed and raised Hitler. You see, Hitler and Mussolini were only students of the House of Rothschild. They were students of the eugenics program created and instigated by the House of Rothschild, which is implementations. Eugenics becomes implemented through warfare, bloodshed, death, hell, destruction, disease, anything that they can create to kill and destroy the human being. Black, brown, red, yellow, and white, poor and working class, proletariat, oppressed masses of the peoples of the earth. Many people only look at Mussolini as evil, only look at Hitler as evil, but the whole structure of colonialism, slavery, and exploitation is the manifestation of the eugenics program created by the House of Rothschild and the Oppenheimers to destroy, once again, poor and working class, black, brown, red, yellow, and white. Now, Mussolini begins to look at Ethiopia, and I believe that Rome continued to have a station, one might say, in Eritrea, as Eritrea was a satellite of Italy. So Mussolini begins to focus on Ethiopia. Remember the Adowa battle between Italy and Ethiopia in 1896. Menelik II, the half-uncle, they say, the uncle of Haile Selassie, beat back Rome, beat back Italy, preserved Ethiopia and all of that grand history that we went over. So now, between, say, 1931, 1936, you have Rome and Italy and Mussolini aggressing Ethiopia, committing aggression against Ethiopia in violation of the Charter of the League of Nations, which stated that no nation within the League of Nations could aggress another member of the League of Nations, no matter how great or small. And that nation that was aggressed, offended, had the right to petition the other members of the League of Nations and garner support, whatever was needed to support that aggressed and offended nation. That nation had the right to get every and all manner of support needed to overthrow the aggressing and offending nation. So Italy begins to invade Ethiopia. And there's a speech that you must read and listen to if there is audio available. 1936, Haile Selassie I goes to Geneva, Switzerland, and I believe that was the headquarters of the League of Nations, and he begins to run down all of the wicked atrocities committed by Mussolini and Italy, and I would say the Pope and Vatican City as well. And we understand today that this is all orchestrated by the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, who control all warfare, who finance all participants in warfare, who finance all aggression, who weaponize, or I would say arm all sides, and armed and raised Hitler and Mussolini. That is the backdrop. But Haile Selassie begins to talk about how Italy was killing and destroying indiscriminately, killing and destroying men, women, and children, using tear gas at first. But the Ethiopian soldiers would disperse when they saw the tear gas bombs or canisters hit the ground, and they would wait till the wind carried the tear gas away and the Italian forces would come back and continue to fight. But then Italy raised their wickedness and began to drop mustard gas on the people, pour mustard gas on men, women, and children, destroying land and property and farms and whatnot, destroying water, and the sisters and the brothers of Ethiopia suffering untold sufferings from these wicked, wicked atrocities committed by Italy and Mussolini against Ethiopia. What did the League of Nations do? Nothing. Haile Selassie tells them to their face that they were obligated to protect Ethiopia as a member of the League of Nations, as a signing member of the Charter of the League of Nations, and these nations did nothing. And Haile Selassie alludes, I would say, to Britain, or maybe France. He says something to the effect of, even the most powerful nations wouldn't do anything. And so at that time, you're looking at Britain, the British Empire, and you're looking at France, maybe one or two others, did nothing. None of the European nations did a thing to help Ethiopia. And so he begins to say to them, you wouldn't raise a finger to help Ethiopia. You wouldn't uphold the tenets of the Charter of the League of Nations. He said, your problem is you don't have any morality. You're not moral leaders of the League of Nations. There is no international morality. He says, what good is the Charter? What good is the League of Nations when you're not moral, when you have no moral fortitude to uphold the tenets of the League of Nations and protect the nations of the earth? He says, and let me say this too, when he ascended the stage to give his speech, the Italian representatives and I believe Mussolini himself began to make noise and whistle and show disrespect to Haile Selassie. I believe they even walked out on his speech. And Haile Selassie says, never before has a head of state addressed the League of Nations. I am setting precedent, but never before has there been a precedent created in which a nation in the League of Nations has been aggressed by another member of the League of Nations. And so Haile Selassie says to them, to their face, how many of us would have that courage to go to the League of Nations and tell them to their face what you have allowed to happen to us will soon happen to you? What goes around comes around. What you sow is what you reap. What you do to others. And when you have the power to help others and refuse to do so, look for the same to happen to you. Haile Selassie. And so we saw in the history the continued attack of Mussolini, and we saw in the history that Haile Selassie went into exile for 5 years trying to get support to help Ethiopia. Europe would not help Ethiopia. It was only, now all this time, World War II is heating up. Hitler's doing his thing. Hitler is killing and destroying mentally deficient people, physically disabled people. This is eugenics. Mussolini and Hitler are students of the eugenics program. They are eugenicists. They are being used by the House of Rothschild to kill and destroy poor working class black, brown, red, yellow, and white. They're being used by the House of Rothschild to foster colonialism, slavery, and exploitation. So World War II is heating up. Hitler killing and destroying disabled people, physically disabled. People can't see, deemed disabled, blind, disabled. People mentally deficient, deemed disabled. People physically deficient, deemed disabled. Kill him, destroy him. Then he goes to kill and destroy communists and socialists. Then he turns his eyes on not the wealthy Jews, because the House of Rothschild and the Oppenheimers are wealthy ruling class Jews. Wealthy ruling class European Gentile Jews. Hitler doesn't go after them. Hitler turns his eyes on the poor working class European Gentile Jewish sister and brother. And so you have this wicked dynamic of World War II now heating up. And then Hitler, as you know, begins to invade all manner of countries. He begins to invade Poland. And from what I have studied with various documentaries in the last few days concerning this history, it was only then that Britain, seeing a political advantage for themselves, seeing political interest for themselves, now Britain, Queen, what is it? Is it Elizabeth the First or Elizabeth the Second? Some of you all know that history better than I do. It may be Elizabeth the Second. Then she sees, and Britain sees, and the House of Rothschild see political advantage for themselves, and Britain sends some forces down to Ethiopia and liberate Ethiopia, and Haile Selassie is able to come in and return to the throne and restore Ethiopia. Now, look at this, sisters and brothers. Let's pause. Selah in the scripture, which is the first two syllables of Selassie, Selah in the African Hebrew language means to pause. It's like when you're listening to music and you listen to the lyrics of the song, and then all of a sudden the lyrics of the song ceases and you have the break. You have the breakdown, and you listen to the instruments for like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and you ponder the lyrics that you have just heard. So we're doing a Selah. Look at the perseverance of Haile Selassie I, Rastafari. All of that is a sign of today. These are the last days of this no good, rotten, wicked Babylon system. Do we have the temerity and tenacity to outlast the system? Do we have the temerity and tenacity and intestinal, mental, spiritual, and moral fortitude to say to the powers that be that if you don't do right by the people, you will suffer? That is some of the definitions of Yahushua. Research the definitions of these words. We're going to go into that shortly as well. But one of the definitions of Yahushua is vengeance, meaning vengeance on the wicked ruling class and ruling families for creating a system of death, hell, and destruction. So we are obligated as true Christian men and women revolutionaries to warn the wicked of their impending doom, and warn ourselves to clean ourselves up and stand up for the human family, stand up for freedom, justice, and equality. So, do we have the character of Haile Selassie the First? Do we have the character of Haile Selassie I to stand for freedom, justice, and equality no matter what? And then, notice this. When he returns to power and receives Ethiopia again and restores Ethiopia, he allowed the Roman soldiers or Italian soldiers who had done all manner of wickedness, devilment, demonic atrocities to our African Ethiopian ancestors, mustard gas, all type of wickedness. Haile Selassie said, don't return to them what they did to you. Let them go. Just make sure they leave. Make sure they get out of our country. Make sure they leave our territory and land. Make sure they leave our nation. But don't return to them what they did to you. That's a true Christian. That's a true child of the Most High. This brother grew into being the might and power and glory of the Holy Trinity. And that is our mission. To grow into the might and power and glory of the Holy Trinity. So, the Rastafari sisters and brothers in the 50s and the 60s, they began to look at all of this history. They began to examine all of this history. Mortimo Plano. Oh man, what are some of these old names that I haven't called in a long time? I can't remember some of the old names of the old Rastafari elders from way back before the 1950s, going back probably even to the 1930s and the 40s. Some of those old Rastafari elders, sisters and brothers, they began to look at this history. They looked at World War I and World War II. They looked at this man, Haile Selassie. They examined the history of Christianity. They examined the history of how Europe separated from true revolutionary divine message of Christ and began to do their own thing. Let's take our next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.